This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Respected Asatizai Kiram, Ulama Kiram, dear friends and my beloved elders in Islam, from time to time we speak about Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Al Majma'in in order to extract lessons from their lives and implement it into our lives. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make us like Sahaba. Ameen. So today I have decided to talk about one great Sahabi whose name is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His real name was Amir ibn Abdullah ibn Jarrah, but he became more famous with his title, with his nickname Abu Ubaidah. And he's from those Sahaba who accepted Islam in the beginning days. In fact, it comes in narrations that he accepted Islam just a day after Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. And we all know that for those Sahaba who accepted Islam in the beginning days, they had to go through a lot of persecution and torture in order to preserve this deen. So even Hazrat Abu Ubaidah went through all those tortures and he remained steadfast on his beliefs. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentions that there are three Sahaba who have the best of character, best of conduct, way before Islam, way before Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started preaching. The first one of them was Hazrat Abu Bakr, the second one of them was Hazrat Uthman, and the third one of them was Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. The ulama extract from this narration that it is important for us to become good humans first and then become good Muslims. We can understand from this narration that these three Sahaba were good people way before Islam. So it is important for us to become good humans and then become good Muslims. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala was famous for two things. Firstly, his eloquency, and secondly, his trustworthiness, his honesty. Talking about his eloquency, he had a very soft, very gentle, and a winning tongue. When he would sit with his friends, he would win them. When he would sit with his friends, with his family members, he would win them. But when it came to Allah and his Rasul, when it came to Islam, he was firm in his beliefs. He was strong in his beliefs. And that is what Allah mentions in the Holy Quran. A'izzatin ala al-mu'minin wa adhillatin ala al-kafirin. That the Sahaba were those people who were kind to their own people, who were kind to their own kind. And they were strong and they were firm with the people from the other groups when they stood against them. And I'll give you an example of that. In the Battle of Badr, there was a man who was trying to pursue Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala. At first, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah tried avoiding him. But the man went to the extent of trying to kill Hazrat Abu Ubaidah. Now Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was left with no choice but to encounter him and to finish him. And do you know who this man was? It was his own father. It was his own father. When it came to Allah and his Rasul, A'izzatin ala al-mu'mineen wa adhillatin ala al-kafirin. That is Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. In the Battle of Uhud, when the enemies came close to the Prophet of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was hurt, 10 Sahaba decided to surround the Prophet of Allah. From those 10 Sahaba, one of them was Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. What happened is that two limbs from the armor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam penetrated the cheeks of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Abu Bakr went forward to remove them. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah said that, let me deal with you. And then Hazrat Abu Ubaidah goes and he tries removing those limbs with his teeth. Now in the process, he's trying to be gentle so that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't get there. His two front teeth get shaheed. They come out. Now we have to understand two things here. Firstly, when the front two teeth come out, it becomes difficult for you to pronounce sha, ta, ta. That's how you speak. Secondly, it decreases the beauty of a person. Imagine if a person smiles and there is no front teeth. It looks funny. It looks ugly. But the Sahaba mentioned that after Hazrat Abu Ubaidah lost his two teeth, in protecting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala increased his beauty. He would even look more handsome after. That is the miracle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Upon one occasion, people from Najran came to the Prophet of Allah and they said that, O Prophet Muhammad, give us a trustworthy person who can come with us, stay with us and teach deen to us. And at this particular moment, it is this particular phrase which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ. For every nation, for every ummah, there is a trustworthy person. وَأَمِينُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَبُوْ عُبَيْدَ إِبْنَ جَرَّاحٍ. And the trustworthy person, the honest person of this ummah is Abu Ubaida ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Respected elders and friends, this quality of being a trustworthy person is one of the greatest sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُوَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. O Prophet Muhammad, Allah is commanding you and your people to give back the belongings to the right owners. Now today when we talk about trust, unfortunately we only have one concept in our mind. For example, if someone gives me something, I should take care of it and then I should return it. That is amana. That's what we understand amana as. But if we have to understand this quality of amana deeply, and we have to understand it more, then we come to a conclusion that that is just a concept, it is just a type. But this quality of amana is vast, it is wide, and it involves many aspects. For example, at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Muslims were in few numbers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the Kaaba and he meets the person who's in charge of the key of the Kaaba, Uthman bin Talha, who's still not a Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him for the key to perform salah in Kaaba. Uthman bin Talha refuses. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that, oh Uthman, a time is going to come when this key will be in my hand and I'll give it to whomsoever I want. So Uthman says, then that moment, that time will be a disgraceful moment for the people of Makkah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no Uthman, in fact, that will be the moment of honor for the people of Makkah. Nevertheless, time goes by, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters into Makkah as a conqueror. And then he goes to the Kaaba, he enters the Kaaba, performs salah, he comes outside on the steps, all the Sahaba are standing in the line. Uthman bin Talha is also standing there, who's now a Muslim, and he's thinking, what is the Prophet of Allah going to do? Who's going to get the key? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. O Prophet Muhammad, we know that Uthman has not been nice to you, but this key belongs to him. Give it back to the right one. Even that is amana. Even that is an aspect of amana. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلْمَجَالِسُ بِنْ أَمَانَةِ. When a person comes and shares a secret with you, something confidential with you, it is a trust, it is an amana. You're not supposed to share it with someone else. But unfortunately, what we do today is that we'll go to the next person, that I'm only telling you because you are my best friend. I'm not telling anyone else. I'm only telling you because you are my best friend. That person will go to the next person. I'm only telling you because you are my best friend. And like that, the whole of the society knows about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even that is an amana. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mustashar mu'taminun. That when a person comes to you seeking for an opinion, it is an amana for you to give the right opinion. There should be no ulterior motive. There should be no personal agenda involved in your giving of opinion. Even that is an amana. So all these aspects of amana were found in Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a time is going to come. It is from the signs of Qiyamah that amana, trustworthiness, will be lifted from this ummah. It will be rare to find a person who will be trustworthy to such an extent that people will get together and they will say, let us go to this city or this village and let us go and meet this person because he is a trustworthy person. My friends and elders, let us not become from those people regarding whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cautioned us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us honest people. And when you are trying to practice this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this practice of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, apparently sometimes it will look like you are losing. You are losing. When you are trying to be honest, apparently it will look like you are losing. But in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul, you will always win. Let me give you an example. A few years ago in India, there was a dispute between Hindu and Muslim brothers regarding the land. The Muslims said, this is our land. And the Hindus said, this is our land. But in this matter, the Muslims were wrong. The land belonged to the Hindus. So now the matter goes to the court, and the judge, after trying each and everything, comes to a conclusion, and he questions the Hindu brothers, that do you recommend someone from the Muslims that if he has to stand up and say that this land belongs to Muslims, you will accept? So they said that yes, we do recommend one person. The judge questions, who's the person? Mufti Muzaffar Hussain rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great scholars of India. So Mufti Muzaffar Hussain comes forward. The judge questions, and Mufti Muzaffar Hussain says that this land belongs to Hindus. This land belongs to Hindus. So now his own people start insulting him. They start raising fingers at him. And that is what happens today. When a good initiative is taking place, when something good is happening, the first people to oppose will be our own people. I mean, that is what happened with the Prophet of Allah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited people towards Islam, he invited his own family members first. And the first people to oppose were his own family members. So Mufti Muzaffar Hussain is being insulted. So the judge looks at Mufti Muzaffar Hussain and he says, Oh Muzaffar, aaj Musalman haar gaya, par Islam jeet gaya. Oh Muzaffar, today the Muslims have lost the case, but Islam is victorious because of your honesty, your trustworthiness, your conduct, and your character. That is the honesty, and that is the ummah we belong to, respected elders and friends. Let us come back to that honesty. Nevertheless, coming back to Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, all the Sahaba got together to decide on who's going to be the next Khalifa. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Hazrat Abu Ubaidah should be the first Khalifa. He should be the next Khalifa. That was Hazrat Umar's opinion. But again, look at the trustworthiness of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah. He said that, Oh Umar, in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never saw anyone else apart from Abu Bakr standing on the musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even in the absence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who deserved this khilafah is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Unfortunately, again, today we run for authority, we run for dictatorship. These people used to move away from it. Although it belonged to them, but they moved away from it. Then, at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Roman Empire was being dominant on the Muslims. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to use another strategy in order to deal with this situation. So he told all the Muslims to centralize themselves. So all the governors and all the Muslims came to one place. And at that time, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was the governor of Hind. When he decided to leave with the Muslims, he told the workers that let us give back the jizya which we took from the non-Muslims, the tax. At that time, when the non-Muslims wanted to stay in the area of the Muslims, which was conquered by the Muslims, they had to pay a certain amount of tax in order for them to stay safe, in order for them to be protected. The Muslims took the tax and they protected the non-Muslims. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah said that let us give back the jizya. Look at the trustworthiness again. Let us give back the jizya. When he said that and he started leaving, all the non-Muslims started crying. They started crying that, Abu Ubaidah, we would love to stay under the Muslims. The conduct and the character of this ummah once upon a time was such that the people of other faith wanted to stay under this ummah. Today, let us ponder upon our conduct and character. Nevertheless, then in the last moments of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was in Sham and there was a plague. So Abu Ubaidah, being an asset to this ummah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to Hazrat Abu Ubaidah. Then Abu Ubaidah, if you receive this letter in the morning, don't wait till evening to start off. And if you receive the letter in the evening, don't wait till the morning to start off. And he never wrote the reasons why. When Hazrat Abu Ubaidah received the letter, he read it And he said that I know that Hazrat Umar wants me to get out of this plague so I don't die. But oh Umar, you are my Amir. I'm supposed to obey you. But I cannot forget the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a plague has to break out, you're not supposed to leave this place. And then he sent the letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu read the letter and he started crying. He started crying because, as I said, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was an asset to this Ummah. In fact, according to Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was supposed to be the Khalifa. So the Sahaba asked Hazrat Umar, that, oh Umar, why are you crying? Has Hazrat Abu Ubaidah passed away? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that, no, he hasn't passed away, but he'll soon pass away. So that is the life of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he passed away, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu led his janazah salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the honesty, the conduct, the character of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.